It is August 29th, 2007. I'm here with Mr. A. Byron Smith, birthdate February 10th, 1919. Okay, Mr. Byron, where were you born?
I was born in Danville, Virginia.
Okay. Now, were you born at a hospital or were you born somewhere else?
I was born in the home. Yes, no. I was born in at home.
Was that your parents' home?
Yes, it was, yes.
Okay.
My grandmother and my grandfather actually reared me. My grandmother's name. And I'm known as Mrs. Sally Logan's grandson. You have to say all of that. Mrs. Sally Logan, grandson. And okay. Sally is spelled S-A-L-L-Y.
Okay.
But everybody did that. Everybody called her Mrs. Sally Logan.
Okay.
And she was a wonderful person. Because of my grandmother, I can remember when I was 2 years old.
Well, why don't you share that memory?
Well, I tell you what, I have a picture of it when I was in standing up in a baby carriage like that. And my grandmother showed it to me when I was three. It was taken when I was two.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed it, and she kept me alive with that at all times.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my grandmother reared me, and she reared me so that everybody called me Mrs. Sally Logan's grandson. Not Sally Logan, but Mrs. Sally Logan. And everybody referred to her as Mrs. Sally Logan.
And what was your grandfather's name?
My grandfather's name was, he was a reverend, but he was a slave boy.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend King Solomon Logan.
Strong name.
He told me that when they were coming out of slavery,
mm-hmm.
his mother says, "Come on, Shalom, let's get out of here." I said, "Don't know where we're going, but come on, Shalom, let's go." And she stopped and told my grandfather, said, "I named you King Solomon because I want you to be a wise man. Do you understand?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, he never saw his father, but he was about 15 when that happened. But somehow or another, he came and got enough education, and he went to Hampton Institute.
Okay.
And he graduated, and he came back, and he was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he had quite a reputation as a minister. Quite a reputation.
Now, what church did he preach at?
Well, the one permanently was Camp Grove Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
in Danville. Camp Grove Baptist.
Okay. Now, did he ever tell you any stories about growing up in the times?
Every
that you
day.
Can you share some of those with us?
Yes. The first thing, my grandfather, he preached at Camp Grove for us. Well, not 70 years, but pretty close to something like 42. He was 72 when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, every day and I was at home, I either sat and listened to his stories or listened to my grandmother. My grandmother monitored my life. I mean monitored. And this, I still remember. She says, "Come, I want to tell you something." She always sat on this side. And she always took this hand,
mm-hmm.
and she says, "I have something I want to tell you. And when I tell it to you, don't forget it."
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I can remember one, I was buttoning up my jacket, you know, and I buttoned it up, and it was crooked like that up. She says, "Come, I want to tell you something, and when I do, forget it."
Mm-hmm.
She said, this is the way you must button up your shirt. Say, you start at the bottom, put both ends together, and then reach the first button hole, and then you're on track. And you hold it like that and go up, and you always come out right if you start off right. And she says, I want you to do this in your lifetime too. If you start off right, you end up right. Don't forget it. My grandmother was really a wonderful woman. You want a grandmother's story?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Because I have about 3,000 of them. And really, my wife told me, don't talk about your grandmother. Mm-hmm. Just stop it. See, because I talk too much. But when my grandmother, after she told me about buttoning up this and keeping it straight on line, and the things that followed, her talking with me, and she would always sit down. And my grandmother never raised her voice at me, but she, when I had done something wrong, she whipped me. We had a willow tree in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And when she was ready to whip me, now she never act mad and yell at you and all that. She just went out there and started pulling down those switches, pulling them down, and when she get enough of them, she put them in her hand and pulled it through that like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell when, and when she pulled the switches through, the leaves were off and they're plaited. And she came after me and she really molded me. And she would always say, and I would just, and she put me out, I really cried.
Mm-hmm.
And when I settled down from final, she said, now don't do that anymore. Same tone of voice, mm-hmm. same tone. I said, yes, Grandpa. And I tried to keep her word, but if I didn't, I got one of those spankings. But when she got ready to tell me something, she always sat on this side of me and took this hand. And let me also go up a little higher in telling your stories. At another stage of my life, you know what happened to boys and girls when they get right there at 13 years old, going into 14. Now human nature is the same thing. They started looking at little boys different and little girls, the boys started looking at them different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now before I started doing that, and it really was about 2 days before, my grandmother came and she sat on the side. She says, I want to tell you something, and when I tell you, don't forget it. She says, don't ever go out with a dumb girl. Don't forget it. Or a dumb woman. Don't forget it. Listen to this. She says, I tell you this because a dumb girl or a dumb woman can get a smart man. Don't forget it. But a dumb man will never get a smart woman.
Oh, yeah.
you agree with that?
I do.
A dumb woman can get... She says, so I want you to be a smart man. Don't forget it. And watch this. She told me that. 2 days later, two boys in my classroom, they came to run it down. Said, man, I said, come on. Said, we're going out to get some girls. You do your hardcore. We went out last night. He got three girls. I got two girls. We're going home. We're going to get some more girls tonight. I said, come. And I stepped back. He said, come on, man, go. You want to go? I said, no, I don't want to go with you. Forgot all about what my grandmama told me.
Mm-hmm.
But they just frightened me the way they were anxious to get them girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, such and such a girl got the bad disease. And such a girl gonna have a baby. I said, no, I don't want to hear that. But they went on. Mm-hmm. And it, I realized my grandmother just told me about this thing of getting girls and running after girls. So that stuck with me, I don't know how much. Because them boys and the way they were talking about the girls that they had and how many they were gonna get. So I just stayed away from them. I wasn't interested in any girls. But that was one of the stories she told. But she told them all about me when she knew that there was going to be a change in my life of when something was going to come about. And that's why I was known as Mrs. Sally Logan's grandson. When I started the school, my grandmother, she took me to a commercial photographer, and you have no idea what they looked like then. But at that time, the commercial photographer set you on the bench, make the room dark, pull or something up over his head and tell you to look such and such a thing, and he had a light that would flash. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother sent me to the professional photographer to get my picture at age 6 because I was starting school on Monday. I have that picture, and I just love my grandmother so much. Even today, there are some nights that I dream that I was with my grandmother or I saw her. Mm-hmm. And it's just as fresh in my mind now as it was then. But she would always say, I'm going to tell you something. When I tell you, don't forget it.
And you never did.
I'm telling you. Now, I forget a whole lot of other things. I forget what time I'm supposed to be at the library. Yeah. But my grandmother was, so when I started the school, all the school teachers, the principal said, that's Miss Sullivan's grandson. Mm-hmm. Then went to the next teacher, that's Miss Sullivan's grandson. And they told, the kids said, that's Miss Sullivan's grandson. And that was the way I was known all along.
Well, now let me ask you, so you say you were born in your parents' house?
Yeah.
Now, where were your parents, or what did they do for a living?
Well, that's good. My mother was very strict on me, but she and my daddy loved to travel. Mm-hmm. He was a good man for working. Mm-hmm. And a good man to be my daddy. At one time, he took me away from home. But my my father was hot-tempered. Mm-hmm. So he and Mama, they went a lot of places. So I was stationary and stayed at home with my grandmother because I didn't want to be running in a place. But one time they came and got me and they said, my mama told my grandmother that my daddy wanted to take a hold to me because I was his son and he wanted. And my mother came home to talk to my grandmother about it. My grandmother just walked out of the room. She was quiet. I never heard her say a thing. So they talked to my grandfather. And she just went back in the corner. And I know she cried. Mm-hmm. So, and they were in Richmond at that time. But my father, he could get a job easy anywhere he went to. And so I lived with them, I don't know, maybe about 6 months. And but he was nice to me. Nice. He told me, well, everywhere he go, he got the job that I remember he had was for a meat packing company. Mm-hmm. And he drove the pack, and he carried me over there to the meat packing. You know, they had the cows on. Kingdom was the name of the meat packing company. It was the most famous then. Mm-hmm. And they would have, and my father explained to me all what it did. And I appreciated that. And one day, he says, "Come on, son, we're going to a baseball game." You know, I'd never been to a baseball. And this is Richmond. Mm-hmm. And we got ready to go to the baseball game. And in Richmond, Richmond being the capital city, so much of the dam was a little country town. You didn't pay them to go see no baseball game, but they had great baseball players there. They just started, and they became great, great at that time. Of course, they didn't have any team that had a black person on it, mm-hmm. but there were some boys that became famous because of the way they could throw a curveball, all the other things. But I remember my father, he says, about the second or third ball game, he said, "Come on, let's get our shoes shined." And I gave me shoes, and I didn't know nothing about shining those shoes. And they had, at that time, in Richmond, the captain said, "Climb up on there and gosh, shine your shoes." And I'd say, I've never seen nothing like that. So my daddy knew it, and he carried me around for things. And we got out, and he paid the man for the shoes. Mm-hmm. I guess about the second time that we went to a ball game, I mean, he said, "Let's get our shoes on." I got up on the stand, and got my shoes. When I got down, somebody had been there and had left some money for the guy who was trying to shoot a tip for him. Mm-hmm. I said, "Dad, look at this. Look what I found." He said, "You didn't find that." I said, "That belongs to the shoe shine man." I said, "Put it back up there." I said, "No. What? Nobody's getting this." I said, "I found this." He said, "You didn't find it. They placed it up there for him." And, you know, money, two dimes and a nickel, looked like a whole lot of money. I said, "Dad, this should be my money." He said, "It is not your money. Put it back." We went into the game. But, and of course, we enjoyed it. I tell you another incident that I had with my father. And we were home. I said, "Dad, I'd like to have a dog, a puppy. I'd like to have a dog." He said, "Son, you don't want it." I said, "Oh, yes, I do. I want a puppy bad." And he went to work and came back. He said, Daddy, you gonna get me that?" He says, "I don't think you want it." I said, "Yes, I do." Okay, he brought this puppy home to me, and he gave it to me, and I said, "I'm gonna name him Jack. Come here, Jack." And oh, I was just playing with him. And he pooped right in the house there on the floor. My dad said, "Get it up." I said, "You wanted him." I said, "No, this is what you have to do, clean up behind it." I said, "I have to clean up?" He said, "You got to train the dog." He said, "This is what you have to do to train your dog. You wanted him, so train him." And said, "Get that stuff up." I said, "I don't know." He said, "Get it up." I said, "Get it up." He said, "You asked for the dog, and this is your doggie. His name is Jack. You wanted him. I told you, You didn't want him, you told me you did. So get it up. I said, Daddy, take Jack back. Take And all ever since then, I admire animals, but I don't like to see people mistreat them. And that was the lesson I learned. He learned me a great lesson. Mm-hmm. He took them all back. But my father and my mother traveled, and as I said, he was high-tempered, good man, everybody, nice, fun, everybody. But if you ever crossed him, you were in bad luck. So we went to New York, and up there in New York, you know, everybody in New York thinks that if you aren't from New York, you aren't in the right place, and I'm over you and all that kind of. But nobody's going to be over my dad. Some guy said something, he said, I was telling him, me. He slapped him, back, knocked him out, and says, yeah, I'm here and I'm here to stay. Another fellow did, and he fought real good, strong. And one night while he was asleep, when those guys came in and blew his brains out while he was asleep.
Were you there with them? No.
Oh, I tell you what, before that, after what I had, when I wrote back home and told my grandpapa to come and get me. I told him, come and get me. And my grandfather came down and got me, and the thing, we rode back on the train. See, coming down, I rode with my daddy. We rode the bus, but the train was such a nice, sweet ride. I'd never been on a train. My grandfather, when he got back home, he said, Sally, say, here he is, and she was so glad to see me. She stopped talking, you know, because she didn't try to interfere with my mother and my father at all. Mm-hmm. And when she just went out of the room, just blanked right out. And Grandpa says, here he is, Sally. And we came back and we threw, and I never went with any place anywhere else with anybody. I just stayed there with my grandmother. I knew I had a good grandmother. Mm-hmm. Everybody else knew that Miss Sullivan country was. And nobody ever called her Sally. Only one person. That was King Solomon. He said Sally. But nobody else. And we, at this time, of course, I grew back up. And I kept growing. And once I went with my mother, after my father died, she was in Richmond, and I went to Richmond. I tell you, when I'm talking too much, you tell me, because this is what they tell me when I get into that mode. I just talk. But I was in Richmond, and I hadn't been there long, and some of the boys around me, they would go downtown and sell papers. See, Richmond is a whole lot different from any other city in the state. Mm-hmm. The capital, they got big, tall buildings, government buildings. Mm-hmm. So you'd go down and sell newspapers. Well, I was carrying papers then, but I hadn't been to Richmond. And this is where I had to do. You sell the paper for 3 cents, you had to pay 2 cents for it, and they sell it for 3 cents. Now, sometimes somebody will give you a nickel. Boy, that's a nickel for a paper. But when you go around the Capitol, see all those people getting out of the Capitol building, they don't want no change, they don't care. They give you a nickel, maybe a dime. So some boys came by and told my mother, let us take them down. And they carried me down to show me how to sell papers on the street. And newspaper, new one, you get that, and all the people coming up, and they're riding around, they come by you, and right quickly you hand them the paper. And they give you a nickel, dime sometimes, you know.
Uh-huh.
Paper, 2 cents for the paper. And they go home. Well, I caught on to that real quick. I had no problem catching the guys that came. I think about the third day, I was getting on too smooth for them. They came. My mother was there and let me go with them. And I guess we'd gotten about 4 or 5 blocks from home. She had to go downtown. And they start to roughen me up a little bit. And I, because I was enjoying it, so I was enjoying it better. I'd never been to Richmond outside a little old Danville or nothing, you know. And I was really enjoying it. And they felt like I was enjoying it too much. He said, look at you. He said, you don't even know where you're going. You're all happy and everything. He said, look at you. So if it wasn't for us, you don't even know how to get down there. Then they started to make me feel small. I said, yes, I do too. He says, you don't know how to go downtown. You know you don't. I said, don't you tell me. I said, I spoke up as bad as they were. You know. I said, I do know. He said, all right, you go ahead on, let me see. So we're going another way. You go on down there by yourself. I said, my goodness gracious. So I had spoke up. But I did know how to get back. When I come back, I would have a problem with it. So I went on downtown, bought my papers, and out there on the street selling them and having a good time by myself, just selling papers to people. And I was really, and it was the same thing. All those people come out of those big buildings down there. So, and I hear the car screech, and horn. I said, he blowing his horn, boy. And I was selling these papers, you know. And then scratch, scratch, scratch. I said, what in the world are they doing all that? And I saw somebody on the car almost hit somebody, you know. I said, somebody trying to set, I don't know how to cross the street without getting hit. It was my mother. The boys went back and told her, say he went off and left us. We don't know where he is. And she was coming to get me. And when I saw her, I said, well, what are you doing now? She said, come on. She says, I've been looking for you because they said they had a thing out in Richmond, and this is true. 2 things. Student doctors, really, at that time, if they saw a body, somebody hungry and sick and get passed out or something, they'd take them out to the medical school and experiment with them. Student doctors did that. And they would take up, if somebody, they would say he was dead, if he was just sitting there and starving, you see. This country had the biggest depression you ever had along about that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People were jumping out of tall buildings all the way around, committing suicide. That was a big depression area. But I had no problem with it. And I told my mama, and she says, son, says, I don't want you out here. Says, they said you couldn't get back home, you were probably in your loss. I said, I'm not lost. And I tried to convince her, and she just cried. I said, Mom, I said, you come on, go home with me. I said, Mom, I guarantee you I'll be all right. Just let me sell my paper. And she didn't know that I knew how to get down there, and that's why she was running.
Mm-hmm.
And she cried, and I petted her a little bit. And then she quieting down, let me go and sell my papers. He went back home. And I found my way back home. But, and then after that, I went. But that was hard. But after a while, I wanted to go home because I went there. This was at another time. And the boys at school, because I was a new student, you know, guys just took the advantage of me, you know. I ain't had nobody took the advantage of me. And, well, I didn't fight. One day, one morning, I went into school, and they grabbed me. And I'd always got there on time. Sometimes I'd wait till the others started going in, so I wouldn't have a confrontation with them. But one boy took off my shoe and threw it way down on the other side of the schoolyard. And boy took the other one and threw it out there. And I had to go and collect my shoes. And I told my mama about it. And she went in and talked to the principal. You know what the principal told him? He says, ma'am, says, I know your boy's out. He says, but I don't have time to or enough people to go out and take care of your son. So he'll have to come in and make as best as he can till he get in school. And she tried to talk to him and said, well, I can't do it. So she left and she told me this. She says, the principal didn't respect me at all, didn't want to do it. And says, I'm glad I went. Said, but if your daddy, see, my daddy was hot to me. Said, if your daddy, said, your daddy would have thrown his head out the window. Yeah, so she didn't want to send my daddy down there to do it because of that. But and she said, you'll have to protect yourself. Well, I'd never fought any boys. So one day, some boy jumped on me, and when he jumped on me, he jumped us right because I hit knocked him with my fist. Oh, he always hit the boy in his stomach and drew him over like then hit him up like this, and I started fighting. And he started running, and I started chasing him. And when I was chasing him, some boy said, "Say he lived right close by the school, so leave him alone, let him go on by home." So I chased him. He ran because I was fighting. I knew I could fight, but I didn't. So he ran, and when he got home, he ran up on his porch. He had some people on the porch. I ran right up behind him. He ran through the house. I ran right straight on through the house and jumped on him and beat him up.
In his own house?
Out in the yard. So because we ran straight through the house, out in the yard, I beat him up. I remember jumping on me and said, I can fight. And then I wouldn't have to send my mother to the principal, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't have to send my daddy, because my daddy would have beat the principal up. He didn't mind. He would just tore up the office with it. And Mama said I had to do it. Right.
Oh, I was going to say, let me ask you one thing. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No brothers. No sisters. I had a little sister. She passed real right after she was born. But I no brothers, no sisters.
Okay. Now, when you lived with your grandparents, because that's where you lived most of the time?
Yes, I did.
Did you have other family members that lived nearby you?
Oh, yes. You see, with my grandfather being a minister, mm-hmm. We had a lot of relatives around, and they were the whole community accepted us well in Danville. So mm-hmm. We were well up, good. My grandfather retired from the ministry. He just sit out on the porch, and everybody come by, and everybody knew him. Say, "I remember Logan. Hey, dog, baby, hey!" And he just like that. Mm-hmm. And then after gone, he says, "Son, I don't remember." Say, "I have so many people on." Reverend Logan, my mama said, "Hey." So yeah, so you married my mama, Reverend Logan. Yeah, give up my regard. And he told me, he says, I don't know who the people are. And he sat there all day long, said, yes, I remember. I baptized. Yeah, I baptized. And do you know what? I'm in the bonding business, in the real estate business, and in the oil business. And I've been in that since 54. Before that, I was in life insurance. And I see people, hey, how you doing?
You learned from a master, it sounds like.
I don't know who in the world. I don't know who they are. I really don't.
Now, describe the house that you grew up in. Was it brick? Was it wood? Did it have a garden? Was it in the city?
Oh, it was in the city.
Okay.
And it was built fancy, something fancy. It was a nice neighborhood, but it was a new house, and my grandfather and my grandmother, it was really, really something nice. But I must tell you, depression hit harder and harder, mm-hmm. and people would go around and say, give me peace and bread. I can think of them now, give me a piece of bread. And they mean a piece, just a piece of bread. Now if you put a little jelly on that bread, ooh, they just can't stand it. Mm-hmm. Well, I was carrying newspapers. And I tell you what my grandmother did. People thought we were rich. We were poor like everybody else. My grandmother, and I learned how to raise a garden from her. She started about February, first part of March, over the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Gardening. And she just put the garden. And when something would come in, whatever she's planned, along about April, some came in. And she says, when she takes some, when something, we pick a bean or something, whatever, she said, when you take something out, put something back. And she did that. And my grandmother, we had, people thought we were rich. She said, when you take something out, put something in, we do this. And then she raised chickens. And when I grew up a little bit, and I got a paper route, carrying papers, and I would fish, fresh fish,
mm-hmm.
was sold for a nickel a pound, 6 pounds for a quart.
Mm-hmm.
I would go by, and when I go across town to get my papers, I'd pass fish market. I would get fish for us to carry home, you know, and this is such good eating. But my grandmother raised in the garden. I helped her with the garden too. And then she made preserves.
Mm-hmm.
And watch. Then she dried fruit, fixed it up so the sun, and covered it up with a piece of cloth so the flies could, and dried the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had plenty to eat all the time, and people just thought we was rich. And I was right by my grandmother's side, and that's where I learned how to raise a garden. And I got a garden now.
Do you?
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, I said, yeah.
What kind of things are you growing in your garden now?
String beans, watermelon, cantaloupe, okra. Sweet potatoes.
Mm.
I got big sweet potatoes.
Now, is that similar to what your grandmother would grow, or what are some of the things your grandmother grew?
Grow?
Mm-hmm.
She grew any vegetables, all of them, fruit and all of them. We just had plenty to eat. And I'll tell you something else about my grandmother, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was an agent for the Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Supply. You know who C.J. Walker?
Mm-hmm. I have heard of that.
And we had a part of our house. She was a hairdresser, and she sold C.J. Walker's products And I would keep her record for the inventory. And see, because I stayed there all the time. And my grandmother just felt like, she made me feel like I was just something she couldn't get along without. But I tell you, when we'd have, you had men then who had dairies in town, they would come by selling milk. And I loved buttermilk at that time. I loved buttermilk. Mm-hmm. But everybody had to bake bread all the time. So you'd have to have milk and butter from this man. Mm-hmm. And he'd come by and we would buy. And I would always buy my buttermilk separate from, because grandma's buttermilk, she made up the biscuits and I drank mine. And sometimes she ran out of milk and she asked me if I could use mine. And I said, sure, it's for the family. And one day, grandmother stopped the man and she'd buy what she was going in the house, and I'd buy what I'd. And I was short of money. And I told him what I wanted. And I said, I'll pay for this Friday. He says, all right. And grandmama said, you sell that boy on credit? I said, yes, ma'am. So I've been doing it all along. You just left here. He says, if all the adults paid me like this boy, I would be all right. Say, he comes up and he pays his bill right on time. Say, that's the reason I never say anything to you, but sometimes he didn't have the money. I let him have it. Oh, I tell you. But she says, well, I don't know. But I know that my mother was back with us, and sometime when family milk runs short, he said, can we use your milk? See, because I loved buttermilk, so I had to buy mine separate. I drank plenty of it, boots of it.
Keeps you healthy. I'm going to pause you right here.